see the sun this morning. Amen. I hope you're come this morning. I hope that you've come this morning to magnify our God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. We better get on into the worship service by preaching the Word of God. Children's church be dismissed at this time. Nursery provided for our little ones. Hallelujah. What a spirit of worship this morning. I really don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. Because I feel like that God, you're not here this morning by accident. God has been dealing with me this morning. You're not here by accident. This is a divine purpose and a divine plan of God that you're here this morning. Because God has something for you. Won't you to pray for me this morning that God will just have His way? I tell you what. I cannot hardly contain myself. But God has a plan. And God has a word for us this morning. I want to jump right into the word. Not going to take me long. Go to Acts chapter 3. I want you to pray for me this morning. I'm so blessed. I was thinking Friday at work. I've been praying about a lot of stuff, and God's just answering prayers, Pastor. And I'm thinking, I'm sitting there, and I said, you better be careful what you pray for, because God is just answering prayers. Amen? How many of you sometimes you pray prayers that you really, really not sure why you prayed that prayer? Amen? And God is just answering prayers. That ain't got nothing to do with this message, but I just felt like saying that this morning. So I want you to pray today that God will have His way in this service. Like I said, this is a simple message. I'm a simple-minded person with a simple message this morning. And I feel like the Bible teaches us the simplicity of Christ. Sometimes we try to make the gospel so complicated, so hard, but the gospel is simple when we put it on simple, everyday terms. And I say this all the time, that until we take the stories of the Bible and extract the spiritual truths from them and apply them to our life for daily living, then we don't get the full effects of God's Word. But let's go to Acts chapter 3. I'm going to be reading a lot and teaching a little bit and preaching a little bit, then we're going to let you go. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Whom seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, Whereof are we witnesses? And his name, through faith in his name, had this man been made strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Amen? Very simple story, and you've probably heard this from your youth up. You heard this in children's church when you started out about the lame man at the gate. But I want to try to get a message across to you. Now, how many of you remember what I preached on week before last? I got one person that remembers what I preached on week before last. Amen? But this is not a two-part series. I didn't just decide to do this. This is not a pickup of where I left off 2 weeks ago. I feel like that God just led me in this way as I began to pray and began to prepare to minister to you this morning, that God just laid this upon my heart. Now, I still believe that the hand of the Lord is touching ordinary people today and anointing them with the gifts of the Spirit to accomplish His purpose. Pastor said there's a supernatural power living on the inside of you, and God has given you the power, and God's given you His gift to accomplish some awesome things for the kingdom of God. Amen? As I read a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians 4, the Bible said, "But unto every one of us is given grace, unmerited favor, according to the measure of the gift of Christ." And verse 8 says, "Wherefore he said, when I ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men." Ephesians 4 and 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." I hope this morning that I'm operating in the gift of a pastor and a teacher. That's what I want to do. I want to teach to you, then I want to pastor you. Amen? Why is it that this gift that He has given us gives us this special ability to do certain things at our very best? Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit equips you to do certain things at your very best. Amen? How many of you try to do things on your own and fell flat if you fail? How many of you has tried to accomplish a plan and a purpose, and it just didn't come to fruition? But when the Holy Spirit got involved in it, amen, it come about the way that God meant for it to come about. Amen? Amen? Praise be unto God. So why is it that God give us this special ability to do certain things? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for Him, build up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. Amen? Sound familiar? Now last week, God spoke to us through His Word, amen, about the gift of a prophet and the words of prophecy. Now, does anybody remember what I preached on? Today, we want to look at the gift of an apostle. Now, the church seems to have a firm grip when it comes to evangelism, pastors, and teachers, but we struggle with the gifted people being apostles and prophets. Amen? Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says this, "And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Amen? Now, I know that a lot of people think that when Jesus died, the original 12 apostles, they left, and the gift of apostleship left with Him. Amen? A lot of times we think that when Jesus died, it ended the need for apostles. And it amazes me that we can look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and place so much importance on pastors and teachers and evangelists, and see no need for prophets and apostles. Does anybody know where I'm going? Has anybody got a clue what I'm talking about this morning? We place so much importance on pastors and teachers, and certainly they are important, because the church cannot survive without them, amen? And we need our evangelists to evangelize our world and go from church to church. We need our evangelists, but we also need our prophets to prophesy, and we need our apostles to do what they need to do, amen? Praise be unto God. And many signs and wonders were done at the hands of the apostles. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the days of signs and wonders are over with. Amen. I don't think the days of signs and wonders are through with them. They just seem to be lying dormant. Amen. But we need to wake up that sleeping giant. Amen. Of signs and wonders and miracles, because the body of Christ is living in the last days, and we need to be the light, Steve, that we ought to be, that God wants us to be, and we need to be operating in signs and wonders and miracles. Oh, you're just too radical, Pastor. You're just too radical. That stuff went out with the apostles. You choose to believe whatever you want to believe. I still think that God has a plan and God has a purpose to use the Holy Spirit to work through us to accomplish His plan and His purpose. Oh my God, somebody better pray. We won't never get out of here. Now, we say a lot of times that we think, and a lot of people think, and there's sun coming off that windshield out there, it's blinding me. And we think a lot of times that apostles left when Jesus left. But did you know there's at least 25 people in the New Testament that have been identified as apostles? Amen? Amen? Sometimes we're shocked when we say that there's apostles. There are other apostles mentioned in the New Testament. Paul and Barnabas, James, Timothy, Silas. These people were considered as apostles. And it's shocking to believe or to hear people say that the apostles left with Jesus. Amen? Now, we're going somewhere, so y'all pray for me. Now, I know that the title of apostle has been misused. It seems like, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but a lot of time seems like everybody's attaching the title of apostle before the name. Apostle so-and-so, and brother apostle so-and-so, and apostle this, and apostle that, amen. But did you know that the title of apostle has been misused? There are a lot of self-proclaimed apostles who are nothing more than wolves in sheep's clothing. Oh my gosh. You're going to have to pray for me. They're out there for their benefit. They're out there for money. They're out there for fame, and they're out there for self-interest. Amen? And it has hurt the church. It really has. Amen? So we've got to remember, apostles are given by Christ for the equipping of the saints for the working of the service. Amen? So apostles are not given for fame and fortune and for riches. Amen? Apostles were given to the church to equip you to be everything that God wants you to be. To bring you into unity of faith and then the maturity of the Spirit to a mature Christian. Amen? Are the saints fully equipped? No way. Are the saints fully equipped? Absolutely not. If you're sitting here under the sound of my voice this morning and you think that you're totally equipped for the gospel, hey man, just raise your hand. I'm not totally equipped for the gospel. Pastor, I consider myself a mature Christian. I've been doing this for a long time. I didn't fall off the back of a cabbage truck last week. I've been doing this for a long time. And I've seen a lot of things and I've been a lot of places. Amen. But I don't consider myself to reach everything that God has for me. Amen. So we're not fully equipped yet. Have we all obtained the unity of faith? Not yet. Not yet, but we're headed in that way. Amen? Hallelujah. We still need modern day apostles to equip us to unify the body of Christ together. Now, I want to back up for just a minute and read Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 43. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this inward generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done at the hands of the apostles. Amen? Amen? So, Now, I can't go into everything that's in these verses of Scripture. I can't dig all the nuggets out. But the important thing to notice is that the promise is not only to you and to your children, but to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Amen? This is the whosoever will of the gospel. Now, the gist of Peter's message was that the Jewish hearers should save themselves from the crooked and perverse generation that rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Now, I just read to you a few minutes ago where Peter talked to the Jews and he said, you rejected Jesus Christ. Pilate was going to let him go and he was going to set him free. But you rejected the Holy One and you wanted a murderer instead of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, Peter said, you need to save yourself from this crooked and perverse generation that rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And to do this publicly, disclaiming any further connection with the guilty nation of Israel. Amen. Now, I know it may sound a little confusing right now, but let's try to put all this together. And to do this, to publicly disclaim any further connection with the guilty Jewish nation, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Sound like they were coming into the unity of the faith. But they were to separate themselves with any further connection with the guilty nation of Israel. 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking of the bread, of house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Amen? Amen? 46 said, as they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, if I'm going to disconnect myself from the guilty nation of Israel, I'm not going to go down to the temple and hang out with the guilty nation of Israel. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm trying to say right now. I'm not saying that you don't need to go to the church house. I'm not saying that you don't need to separate yourself from God's people. Amen. I'm saying that you need to separate yourself from some ritual. Amen. Praise be unto God. So they need to separate them. Have no further connection with these people. Amen? The church, now listen, the church in the book of Acts and in the rest of the New Testament was called a house church. As we read, they were breaking bread from house to house instead of going to special ecclesiastic buildings. Amen? Verse 46 said, this gives the effort of Pentecost on religious life and home life. We got to remember that these early converts were of Jewish background. Although the church was now existing, their ties with the Jewish temple were not severed immediately. It was hard for them to shake off the grave clothes of Judaism. Amen? Jesus had come. Jesus had died. He had paid the ultimate sacrifice for them to be saved. Amen? But they was having trouble separating themselves from the Jewish tabernacle. Amen? So that brings us to our text. The Bible said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So if Peter and John were the apostles, they were ones to set the example, why were they going to the temple to hang out with the guilty nation of Israel? Amen. Have you ever looked at it like this? We come to the church to equip ourselves to a position of strength, amen, that we can take this home and reach a lost and dying world. Amen. If you come into the house of God this morning, your purpose ought to be to come in to magnify and glorify God. Amen. That's our number one person. It's to worship Him and glorify His name. Amen. But also, we come to the house of God to hear the man of God get up and speak the word. And when it gets into your hearing, it equips you to be a mature Christian that you can take it home and go out into the world to reach lost souls. Simple message of the gospel. Amen? But what about this? Peter and John, they were learning at home so they could go to the temple and lead people to know Jesus Christ. Amen? Have you ever looked at it like that? We're learning at the church and taking it home. They were learning at home and taking it to the church. So that's the reason the Bible said that they were continually, daily, going to the temple. Now I want you to look at this. The Bible said they went about the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock in the evening, but they weren't going at the hour of sacrifice because the sacrifice had already been made. Amen. And Jesus Christ had already made the ultimate sacrifice, but they were going at the hour of prayer. Oh my goodness. How many of you, you've got a set time of prayer? Amen. There's a set time that you pray. If you ain't got a set time to pray, you're probably not real consistent in your prayer life. Amen. Because you've got to set aside some time, Pastor, and you've got to set aside a daily time where you're going to pray and you're going to seek God. Amen? So Peter and John went up to the temple about the hour of prayer. Amen? When Peter and John were being equipped at home to a position of strength and maturity so they could go to the temple and lead others to Christ. Now, people were saved. Amen. They believed in Jesus, but they were still going to the temple because they were having a hard time shaking off the ragged clothes of Judaism. So they were really saved, but what was Peter and John doing going to the temple to try to lead people to Christ? Just because you're saved don't mean you're living at the foot of the cross. Amen. Don't mean you're doing and you're in the right place that God wants you to be in. Praise be unto God. Am I making any sense at all? Somebody said absolutely not. Once again, Christians continued to attend the temple service for some time after the church was formed. This was a period of adjustment and transition. Now, Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, apparently Peter and John saw no problem with their Jewish custom of prayer at a certain hour of the day. But they were not going to the hour of sacrifice, but like I said, to the hour of prayer. But on this day, God had a special assignment for an apostle. There was an ugly situation at a beautiful gate. Amen? There was an ugly situation at a beautiful gate. But on this day, God had a special assignment for Peter and John. They were apostles of God. And He said, I got a mission and I got a plan. And I want you to go down to the temple because there's somebody waiting there that's going to need your help. Amen? How many of you know that we're living in a world full of people that are in trouble? There's people out there that need help. There was an ugly situation at a beautiful gate, the Bible said. And He certainly... A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Amen? The lame man simply wanted to be supported in the condition that he was in. Now, the church has a responsibility. We have a responsibility to help those that are in need. We have a responsibility to the poor. We have a responsibility to those that are homeless. Amen? But sometimes it's easier for us to support their condition than it is to operate in signs and wonders and to see complete healing upon their life. It's easier sometimes for us to pass by and drop an offering in their tin cup than it is for us to be the apostles of Christ and do what God really wants us to do. Now, I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go there anyway. Amen. I've been wanting to testify for over a week, and I ain't got to. So this is my opportunity. Amen. Last week or week before last, I told y'all that God was doing something in my life, that He was preparing me for a situation that I had failed Him in the past. Amen. In September, we went to New Orleans, Louisiana. Amen. And I went down on Canal Street, and I went down on Bourbon Street, and I had a bad attitude. Amen. I was there. I wasn't planning on helping nobody. Amen. I just went down, amen, to go by and see the people. Amen. And God really trimmed me up with it. When I left New Orleans, I was broken. Amen. When I got back from New Orleans, amen, and I told God, I said, God, if you'll make a way for me to go back down there, I promise you I'll do things different. Last weekend, God made a way for me to go back down there, and I promise you, I left there doing things different. God, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I wanted to save this for a little bit later. Amen. So a lot of times, it's easier for us just to pass by people, Matt. Amen. And help them in their condition that they're in. Amen. It's easier for us to do that. Amen? But sometimes it's easier for us to support their condition. Peter and John gave him no money. Some people would complain and say, you don't care about me. You don't support me. Look at the mess that I'm in. Peter and John had no interest in supporting this man in the condition that he was in. Somebody needs to hear just what I said. Peter and John had no interest in supporting this man in the condition that he was in, because they had something far better for him than what he was experiencing. Amen. Man, I was talking to a guy down on Bourbon Street the other night, and I walked down there by myself, and I was just trying to pray for people, and I was going around and I was talking to people, and I come up to this guy and I begin to talk to him. And he said, I'm 60 years old and I'm a veteran. And he said, this is all I do. I come down here every day and I sit on this corner and I ain't got no hope. He said, I don't have no hope. I said, you got hope. Your hope is in Jesus. Your hope is in Jesus, and Jesus can change your life. Now, the man in the Bible said that he was lame from birth, and they would take him daily and lay him at the gate. He knew how to run his game. I was talking to a guy the other night, and I was trying to tell him about my experience in New Orleans. And he said, you know, a lot of those people down there, they're just wanting money. That's all they're doing. They're just down there wanting money. That's what they do. And they are people that know how to run their game. And that's exactly what they're there for. But you know what the Holy Spirit will do to you, Pastor? That supernatural power that lives on the inside of you. When you meet people, that Spirit will let you know if that person's just running their game or they're really in need. Amen. I promise you the Holy Spirit will help you in that situation. Amen. So the man was just running his game. He was down at the temple. And he would go every day. And what he wanted was alms. He was wanting alms. And you know what? He's been doing this all his life. The key to it was catching the people at the right time. The Bible said he was sitting there, and right when they entered into the temple, amen, he was asking on. He was running his game. He knew how to get the money. He was right there. How many of you feel more religious on Sunday morning when you're walking in those doors than any other time of the week? Come on now. That's exactly what was going on here. Amen. Peter and John was going down to the temple. I don't know how many people went to the temple that day. I don't know how many people passed this guy. And I don't know what he got. Amen. But when Peter and John came there, they seen something in that man a little bit different. When they were about to go into the temple, the Bible said when Peter and John were going into the temple, he asked for alms. One old preacher said it this way. He was asking for alms and he got legs. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you know why? Because God is El Shaddai. He's the God of more than enough. But when you're just wanting alms, He's able to give you legs. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Because God is El Shaddai. Now verse 4 says this. It says, and when Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look upon us. Now this is the first rule of the street. When you go to New Orleans, I'm going to warn you, this is the first rule of the street. If you go down to New Orleans and you're walking down Canal Street and you're walking down Bourbon Street and you don't want to help nobody, don't make eye contact. That's the first thing. Because I know what I'm talking about. Because when you make eye contact, the first thing they realize, he may need to help somebody. Amen. And I was walking down the street the other day, and I was trying to make eye contact with people. And people were just walking by, and you know how they are. Amen. And they got their suits and their ties on, and they just got their nose stuck up in there, and they don't care about nobody. They don't want to help nobody. But then you see this man coming up, and he's kind of poor, and he's looking by a little bit pitiful. And I look him right now, and he said, brother, you got any spare change? I said, no, I ain't got no spare change, but I'd like to pray for you. That's what I'd like to do. Amen. And he said, I don't know about that. I said, you don't want me to pray for you? And he said, okay, you can pray for me. I said, do you mind if I lay hands on you? And he said, no, I don't mind at all. And so I laid hands on him and prayed for him, Matt. Amen. And I can see his countenance change. I could see something spinning in his head. Amen. Because silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the rules of the street is don't make eye contact. But what did Peter and John say? Look here. Look right here. Look in my eyes. Look right here in my eyes. Did you know that the eyes is the gateway of the soul? Amen. The Bible says that the eyes are the gateway of the soul. Now there's a lot of people, amen, can put on a fake smile. You come into the house of God on Sunday morning and just, oh, praise God. God is good. I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. But you look into those eyes and they're not just exactly right. Things ain't right in their life. Something needs to be done. Amen. They need some apostles praying over them. Amen. And giving something to them that they can't get from this world. Praise be unto God. Now listen. The Bible said that he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now this man was living on the street, amen, and he was a beggar, but he had a something that a lot of church people don't have. And that's a spirit of expectation. Amen. I don't know what you come for this morning, but if you didn't come into the house of God expecting to get something from God, you've missed everything. And then you've got to have a spirit of expectation when you come into the house. Oh, brother, I just come to worship God. I didn't come to get nothing from God. I'm a giver. I'm not a getter. Oh, well, I'm a getter. Amen. I'm a giver and I'm a getter. Amen. Because God said, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. I know I'm enjoying this a lot more than you are. So Peter and John said, look on us. And he looked on them, expecting to receive something from them. Now he was expecting them to get in their billfold, get in their pocket. But Peter and John, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Sometimes what we really want ain't what we really need. And what we really need ain't what we really want. Come on now. That is the gospel according to GL. Sometimes what you want really ain't what you need. Well, Pastor, we're living in this welfare mentality. We're living in this entitlement mentality. We're living in a world where everybody's got their hand stuck out, and the government's trying to feed them with money, and the government's trying to do this instead of really giving them what they need. In order to go to work, you got to get back on your feet. Amen? Now, the lame man, as long as he received silver and gold, he was in a comfortable situation. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people that are crippled from different things. Fear, doubt, and intimidation is three of them. People are crippled by three things: fear, doubt, and intimidation. But as long as you're comfortable in your situation, you're never going to receive the miracle God has for you. After that, Peter had prayed in the name of Jesus. The Bible said that he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Amen. Now, we know that the right hand represents authority. Amen. Did you know that it wasn't when Peter prayed for him that the man got up, but it was when Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up? Oh, I never would do nothing like that because I don't want to embarrass nobody. Amen. That's not really the reason that you don't do that. The reason that you don't do that is that you're crippled by fear and doubt and intimidation. That's the reason that we really don't do it. Amen. Because it happened to me the other night when I was down on Bourbon Street. Amen. And there was a little old man sitting over there in a wheelchair and didn't have no legs, but he had a tin cup. Amen. And I went over there and I got to talking to him. And I said, "Brother, can I pray for you?" Amen. And I began to quote these very scriptures here. I said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give I thee in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk." And I quit right there. Oh, brother, now come on, brother. You're just too radical. You couldn't take that man by the right hand. No, I couldn't, because I was in fear and doubt and intimidation. My ministry was crippled, amen, because of what I wouldn't do. Am I reading this out of the Bible or am I making this up? Amen. God is looking for a group of people, amen, that's going to do exactly what He wants them to do. Amen. I believe that God is raising up an army. It's one thing to say rise up and walk, but it's a whole different story when you take them by the right hand and lift them up. It was at this moment that Peter received his gift as described in 1 Corinthians 12 and 9. This is a supernatural ability to trust God in a particular situation. It was at this point that Peter began to operate in a gift outside of himself. Amen? He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Then he took him by the right hand, and his faith was activated, amen, through a supernatural power from 1 Corinthians 12 and 9, amen, that he was able to do this supernatural situation. Strength came into the lame man when Peter said, "Rise up and walk." But when he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Amen? Now, as soon as... I'm trying to close, and I know you're getting impatient. As soon as the man received strength in his ankle bones, he did three things. The first thing that he did, he attached himself to the apostles. Amen? You need to find you somebody that you can attach yourself to. You need to find you some old godly man and get as close to him as you can and pick his brain and ask him how he got where he is. Amen? You need to attach yourself to a church. Amen. It's preaching you the gospel. They're not compromising. They're telling you the truth. Amen. You need to attach yourself to some people like that. Amen. More than anything, you need to attach yourself to God. Then immediately, the second thing that he done, he started to use what God had blessed him with. The Bible said that when he received strength in his ankle bone, that he began to walk. Then he began to leap. Then he began to praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So God had blessed him with something. I wonder sometimes when God has blessed us in so many ways, we take it for granted God's blessings. Amen. But this guy had been sitting here 40 years doing the same thing. Amen. With no success. But one day, an apostle come by and laid hands on him. And this is what he began to praise and to worship God. Now this man was lame from his birth. How many times had Jesus come by this? Oh my goodness. It's going to blow you out of the water. How many times had Jesus come by this crippled man? Seen him sitting there, never healed him. This guy's been sitting there 40 years, been sitting there all his life. How many times did Jesus go to the temple? And you tell me Jesus went to the temple that many times and didn't walk by this lame man? God's timing is as important as His will. Amen? Jesus, He don't operate on the same timetable we do. Amen? He had a plan and He had a purpose. He said, I'm not going to heal this because I've got some apostles that here real soon are going to go to the temple one afternoon at 3:00, and they're going to see this man there, and my supernatural power is going to rise up in them, and they're going to lay hands on him, and he's going to walk. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. God's timing is just as important as His will. It was for the greater glory of God that Jesus healed this man through the hands of the apostles. Verse 9 and 10. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. They were filled with wonder and amazement. Amen? I've used this before, and it fits real good right here. We come to the house of God like we did this morning. Man, we have an awesome worship service. I don't know about you, man, but I felt the Holy Spirit moving in an awesome way. And the praise team did an awesome job. And Pastor's word was awesome. And the holy anointing was all over it. Amen. But we can go out into the world and say, man, you should have been in that worship service we had yesterday. It was out of this world. It was amazing. They don't understand worship. They don't understand that at all. Amen. They could care less about that. But if you go out into the world and you say, man, you should have been down at the house of God yesterday. They brought this man in and he was lame and he hadn't walked in 40 years. But somebody got up and laid hands on him and prayed for him. And he got up and went to leaping, dancing and praising God. Now they understand that. Amen. So why do you think that the body of Christ needs the gift of apostleship working, amen, so that we can lead people to Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said they were all filled with wonder and amazement in that which had happened to the lame man. What did we just witness? I'll tell you exactly what we just witnessed. Ephesians chapter 4 said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. So what we just experienced is apostleship working in its full effect. When they went to the temple and saw a noted miracle and the body of Christ began to believe and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Amen. When the world starts to realize that there's a real God in heaven, amen, you're going to see things different. Amen. God used the apostles to start bringing the church into unity. The psalmist David said, "How good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity." It's like the precious ointment that was upon the head of Aaron that ran down through his beard upon his garment, even the skirts of his garment. And it was there that God commanded the blessing. Amen. Let's stand our feet all over the house this morning. Front, if you'll come to the piano. Now, I know for a lot of you, this ain't what you come to hear this morning. I really wanted to hear one of them messages on something else. But this is the message God sent. Amen? We're at a place, and I said this Sunday a week ago, we're at a place where we're going to have to draw a line in the sand. And we're going to have to be who we say we are. Amen? And we're going to have to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit like we never have. Boy, all you've got to do is just look around. Man, we're living in troublesome times. We're living in perilous times. And God needs the body of Christ to be everything it needs to be, operating in the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know where I want to do this, but I want to do this. Could I get somebody up here to sing? Somebody's late. Somebody get up here to sing. Emily, are you still in here? Ryan, Micah. God just laid this on my heart. There's somebody here in the sound of my voice this morning. You don't know about the power of God. You don't know about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to close this service this morning without giving you an opportunity to pray. If God's been dealing with you this morning over seeking His face, I don't know, you may be lost, never have known Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're that person here this morning, I wouldn't walk out them doors without accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life. Let's go ahead and sing.
Here in your holy
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Let go of the past. Thank you, Jesus.
It's all that I can do. I turn to you.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The one and only God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate you coming out to the house of God this